All right, welcome back, everybody, to the deep dive. You know how this works. We take a real case and we use it to answer a question that, frankly, I think keeps a lot of law students up at night.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do here. Take these concepts that sound really straightforward on the surface, and then we kind of get into the nitty-gritty, see how the sausage is made, so to speak.
Exactly, exactly. And today we're looking at, well, this is going to hit close to home for a lot of you business-minded folks out there. How do we calculate damages, right, when a contract gets breached and a business loses out on potential profit?
And it's a good one. The case we're using is Ling Gang v. City of Mandan Weed Board. This North Dakota case really unpacks a question that, well, it's more complicated than you might think at first glance. Should fixed overhead costs, you know, think rent, insurance, those kinds of things, should they be factored in when we're figuring out how much a business can recover after a contract falls apart?
Yeah, and that's the question. Do those regular costs of doing business get to, I guess, reduce the amount the wrong party can get back? Do those costs come out of their compensation?
Well, let's break it down and see what happened.
Okay, so to start, paint us a picture. Who is this Robert Ling Gang? And what exactly was his deal with the Mandan Weed Board?
All right, so picture this, right? Yeah. Robert Ling Gang, he's our guy. He's got this contract with the city of Mandan. He's going to handle weed control, cutting those weeds down to size. But here's the thing. His contract was specifically for the larger lots in the city. Now, at the same time, the city... they've also got this other agreement with a different contractor. That contractor's handling the smaller properties, the little guys.
Okay, I'm seeing where this might be going. Two different contractors, two different types of lots. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, yeah, you see it. So the problem starts when the city's agent, you know, the person in charge of this whole thing, they start assigning some of the larger lots, the ones that were supposed to be Ling Gang's, to that other contractor. The one meant for the smaller properties.
So, in other words, they're giving Ling Gang's work away to someone else. Not cool.
Right. Classic breach of contract. One party just doesn't hold up their end of the bargain. And in this case, it's the city that messed up that's not holding up their end.
And I'm guessing Ling Gang wasn't too happy about this. Did he just kind of roll over and accept it?
Oh, no. He pushes back, raises his concerns with the city. And to their credit, they did try to make things right. You know, they assigned him some other lots as a sort of substitute. But even with those replacements, at the end of the day, he still lost a big chunk of the work that he was entitled to under the contract.
Right. Work that he was expecting, had planned for, maybe even hired for.
Exactly. And it wasn't chump change either. The total value of that lost work, you know, what he should have been paid under the contract, it added up to $1,933.78. And you know what? The city, they actually admitted they were in the wrong. They admitted they breached the contract.
Okay, so the city knew they messed up. So I guess the question isn't if they owed him money, but how much, right?
You got it. And that's where things got really sticky. That's the disagreement that sent this whole thing all the way up to the North Dakota Supreme Court.
So take us through. What happened at the trial level? How did they initially try to calculate the damages for Ling Gang?
Well, the trial court, they went with what they called a modified net profit approach.
Modified net profit. What does that even mean? That's not exactly a term you hear every day. What's getting modified and how?
Yeah, it sounds a bit technical, right? So basically, the trial court, they took a look at Ling Gang's tax returns. They saw his usual business expenses, things like insurance, vehicle repairs, that kind of stuff. And they decided, you know what? We're going to subtract those expenses from that $1,933.78 that Ling Gang was supposed to get under the contract.
Hold on. So he loses out on almost $2,000 of work because the city messed up. And then they're saying, oh, but you would have to pay for your truck insurance anyway, so we're going to take that out of what we owe you.
Yeah, that's essentially what happened. It's like they were trying to make sure he didn't get what they saw as like a windfall.
Yeah.
Making sure he was only getting compensated for the pure profit he would have made on those specific jobs, even though the city was the one who caused him to lose those jobs in the first place.
Ow.
And when you do the math their way, Ling Gang ends up with a measly $368.59.
Oh, wow. That's a huge difference. It's less than 20% of what he actually lost in revenue. So I'm not surprised he appealed this. What was his main argument to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, no kidding. He was not having it. Ling Gang's argument was basically, hey, these costs, these overhead expenses, they're fixed. They're not going anywhere. I would have had to pay those regardless of whether I did this specific work for the city or not. He's saying, my truck insurance, that's not tied to these specific lots. I have to pay that no matter what.
Right. Those are just the basic costs of running his business. It's not like he suddenly didn't have to pay for insurance because the city messed up his contract.
Exactly. And that's the point he took to the Supreme Court. He's saying, look, the trial court, they got it wrong. They shouldn't be deducting these fixed overhead costs from my damages.
So the big question for the Supreme Court, did they agree with him? Were they on Lenging's side, or did they stick with the trial court's modified net profit idea?
They sided with Lenging, big time. The Supreme Court, they said, nope, trial court, you got this one wrong. They reversed the decision and sent the whole case back down to be recalculated.
Score one for the little guy, or at least for the guy trying to get paid what he's owed. But what was the Supreme Court's reasoning? How did they explain why the trial court's approach was incorrect?
So their decision really boils down to a fundamental principle in contract law. It's called benefit of the bargain, and it's all about fairness, making sure the party that didn't breach the contract, Lenging in this case, is put in the same financial position they would have been in if the contract had gone through without a hitch, like if they'd actually gotten to do the work and get paid for it.
Okay, so it's not just about doing some math and subtracting expenses. It's about looking at the bigger picture, making sure the party that was wronged isn't left worse off because of the breach.
Exactly. And that's where fixed costs get interesting, right? The court, they really honed in on that. They emphasized that these costs, like Lenging's insurance, those were going to happen regardless. It didn't matter if he cut those weeds or not, his truck insurance, it was still due. So when the trial court took those costs out of his damages, it's like he was being punished, like he was paying them twice,
mm-hmm.
once as part of his regular expenses, and then again because they were deducted from what the city owed him.
That double whammy, that really highlights why the trial court got it wrong, right?
Yeah, it really does. It makes it super clear. If a cost is going to be there no matter what, it shouldn't reduce your ability to recover from a breach of contract. You shouldn't be penalized for having to pay for those necessary ongoing costs of doing business.
So the Supreme Court is basically saying, don't punish the victim.
Right. And this leads to another important concept, avoided expenses. The Supreme Court said it pretty clearly. The only expenses that should be deducted from the contract price are the ones that the non-breaching party Lenging actually saved money on because the contract wasn't fulfilled.
Okay, so expenses that went away because the work didn't happen. Can you give us some examples to make the difference between those fixed costs and these avoided expenses a little more concrete?
Totally. Let's stick with Lenging's weed cutting business. Some clear fixed costs would be his general liability insurance. You know, in case someone gets hurt, the cost of renewing his equipment licenses every year, maybe even the rent for a storage space where he keeps his mowers and stuff. Those are all things he pays no matter how many jobs he has. Now, on the flip side, think about the fuel he'd use to drive to those specific lots, the wear and tear on his mowers from cutting those specific weeds, or even maybe he had to hire an extra person to help out just for that job. Those are all tied to the specific work that didn't happen because of the breach.
Okay, so he avoids those extra costs because he didn't do the work. But the insurance and rent, those are still there no matter what.
Exactly. It's a pretty clear distinction when you break it down like that. The fuel and the extra help, those are avoided expenses and should be deducted. But the truck insurance, the licenses, those are fixed. They're part of doing business. Shouldn't even be part of the calculation.
So the Supreme Court, they basically laid out a roadmap here for how to handle these types of damages. What's the main takeaway, the rule that everyone should remember from the Lenging case?
They're saying, hey, when you've got a breach of contract, and we're talking about lost profits, here's how you figure out the damages. You start with the contract price, what the person was supposed to be paid. Then you subtract any expenses that they actually saved because they didn't do the work. But, and this is huge, don't you dare touch those fixed expenses. Those stay put.
This is gold, folks. Gold for any future lawyer. What are some of the, I guess, the real world implications here? What should law students be taking away from this case?
Well, first off, Lenging, it gives us this really clear framework for dealing with these lost profit cases. Knowing the difference between fixed and variable costs, that's crucial. When you're arguing about damages, no matter which side you're on, whether you're the one who got screwed over or the one who did the screwing over, you've got to be able to show exactly which costs were actually avoided because of the breach and which were just the normal costs of doing business.
So really knowing the ins and outs of the business's finances.
Absolutely. You've got to know the numbers. Be being able to pull out those business records, things like income statements and tax returns, that can be super helpful. You can really paint a clear picture of which costs are fixed and which are variable, and you can show exactly how much the breach really costs the business.
Yeah, you've got to make that impact crystal clear.
And the other big thing to remember is that core principle of contract law we talked about, benefit of the bargain. Damages, they're all about making the injured party whole, putting them back in the position they would have been in if the other party hadn't broken their promise, and deducting fixed costs. That goes against that whole idea. It's like saying, well, you were going to have these expenses anyway, so it's okay that you're losing even more money because of the breach. It's just not fair.
It is a good illustration of how the law has to account for, you know, the way businesses actually work. It's not just about theoretical profits. It's about the real world costs of doing business.
Exactly. You got to look at the whole picture. And Lin Gang, it really drives that point home. It's a crucial case for anyone who wants to understand how this whole benefit of the bargain thing works in practice, especially when it comes to making sure someone gets fairly compensated when a contract goes south.
Absolutely. So to sum it all up for everyone listening, when you're dealing with a breach of contract and your clients lost out on some profits, remember Lingding v. City of Mandan Weed Board. That case is your friend. It's a great example of how to fight for your client's right to be fully compensated. And that means understanding the difference between those fixed costs and those variable costs. Don't let anyone try to shortchange your client by deducting expenses they would have had to pay no matter what.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That case, it's a must-know for any aspiring litigator. Put a star next to it in your notes.
And on that note, here's something to ponder as you continue your legal journey. Think about those really complex business contracts. You know, the ones with all sorts of moving parts, especially in industries like manufacturing or tech. How do you think this principle of distinguishing between fixed and variable costs would play out in those more intricate scenarios? What kind of evidence would you need to convince a court that a certain cost is truly fixed or variable? It's something to think about. It's not always as straightforward as it might seem at first glance. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
See you then.
Bye, everyone.